Good evening. Welcome to the Solaria Report. Today is Thursday, June 20th, 2019. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this week. Volume 1 of The Real Game of Missing Money is complete. We have the PDF flipbook for digital and digital and print subscribers, and then, of course, the print subscribers get the hard copy mailed to you. We mailed approximately 600 hard copies last week. Those should come through to you, if not this week, then next. If you don't get them by the end of next week, please let us know, and we want to make sure that gets to you. Volume 2 will go to the printer shortly and ship out as soon as it's in. So that has additional materials on the missing money and then many parts of our normal annual wrap-up. This is very unusual. Normally, an annual wrap-up is 100 to 150 pages long. This is over 400, which is why we put it into two parts. And we've also done it in black and white because so many of the documents relate to due diligence and to legal issues. And it's much easier if you're used to doing that kind of due diligence to do it in black and white. So we made an exception to the rule, but we don't plan to keep doing black and white. We'd like to keep with our normal color format when we get to back to something a little bit more typical. I'm glad we collected everything up on the missing money and got it in hard copy. I think it was very valuable and important to do. We've made volume one available at the store with bulk discounts. So if you want to buy one, you can. If you want to buy 5 or 10, you can get a significant discount on it. We've also posted letter templates at Solaria to help you if you want to send copies to the financial professionals in your life. So your banker, your CPA, your insurance agent, your money manager, or your financial planner, as well as state, local, and federal legislative representatives and officials. All the people who are responsible for resource management in your life, whether you hire them or they're appointed by government, they need to know about FASB 56. While there's time, hopefully, to understand it, digest, and act to help protect assets in their care. So this is a highly complex situation, and it certainly has large potential impact on all of us. So you want to give them time to understand it and digest it. And I think that sending this and sending it in a way which helps ask questions and begin a dialogue about what's really going on and what should we do about it is really could make a tremendous difference. So I would encourage you to send this around. If you can't afford to buy a book to send to the professionals in your life, please feel free to print out the copies of the document or file them on a digital stick. Or if you want to, you have permission to send the link to the PDF if that's your preference. I do think you're going to get more attention and more of a result if you give them something physical. So that's why I would recommend putting the PDF on a stick and then sending the stick if that's the way you want to go. Anyway, take a look at the letter templates and see if they give you some ideas and are helpful. I don't think you need to be afraid to forward this material. The financial professionals and government representatives in your life will be much better off for knowing about this if they don't already. So, and as fiduciaries, they're responsible to understand something like this. This is, in the legal parlance, this is a material event. And so they certainly are responsible to understand this and figure out what it means to you and to the resources under their care. And our templates are written with an eye to being of service. So please don't be afraid to sort of confront this issue or educate people about this issue. It's a very serious and useful document, particularly Volume 1. If you have questions, you're welcome to forward them. Or if you get questions or they have questions, you're welcome to forward them to askcatherine@solaria.com. And I can address them in the subsequent Money and Markets report. Keep us posted on how we can help. If you prefer to send us the names and addresses, we can ship the books out from here. If you want to send cards, just mail them to us at our Hickory Valley office and, you know, we'll include them. But if you have any questions on what you want or how to get it done, just call customer service and we'd be happy to help. Again, I think a bottom-up conversation about what is going on and what we do about it, there's nothing that could be more healthy in this country. All the symptoms, all the problems that concern people, whether it's vaccines or GMOs or the environment, all of these are symptoms of a centralized governance structure which is acting outside the law. And And we're all financing it. So we either deal with it that way, sort of at the metastructure level, or we're never going to get any of these other issues addressed. I believe because we're financing it, we have the power to change it, but it's going to require a broad-based effort of people interested in improving the economy, trust, and lawfulness, and not blowing things up in a manner that will advantage the people who've stolen all the money, which I certainly don't want to do. A few words on events. We have Najat Madre is leading a group of subscribers who are going to join the Refiner Fires recital at Carnegie Hall on June 24th. So if you're interested, we sent out an update about that with instructions on how to contact Najat and sign up if there are any tickets left. July 2nd, I'm going to be down at Austin, Texas for the True Stream Media premiere of Minds of Men. And if you're in the area, I hope you'll come join us. It looks like it's going to be a great event. July, I head for Europe. On July 5th, I'll be in Sofia for a week, and then I go to Umbria in Italy, and I'll be there for 2 weeks, and then I go to the Bregenz Festival. I come back after this, sort of in the second week of August. If you're going to be near any of those places during the summer and you're interested in a tea with Catherine, let me know it through customer service and we'll see if we can't organize something. I'm going to head to Halifax through Toronto by car in late August. Again, if you're interested in a tea with Catherine, let us know. I'm going to be back in Europe, in Paris and in the Netherlands in October. And then it's definite, you heard it here, we're going to be in Portland, Oregon in mid-November and have a tea with Catherine. We hope to announce that shortly. Okay, our theme tonight is Mitch McConnell rings the bell on U.S. Social Security and Medicare. Sure enough, last Friday, Mitch pointed out, again, Mitch McConnell was the Senate Majority Leader, that because of the rip-roaring deficit, which has been growing steadily, we need to cut, he referred to them as entitlements. That's not true, Mitch. The Social Security is a trust fund. People funded it with their hard-earned dollars. It is not an entitlement. It is a trust fund. The Reuters article I read pointed out that, of course, we are spending significantly greater, more big increases in military appropriations. And, of course, the corporate tax cuts dramatically reduce corporate revenues. And so the question being, okay, well, if there's a deficit problem, why did we do both of those things? But in addition, why are we cutting Social Security and not these other things? So lots of questions. And I was very gratified to see everybody on my Twitter feed saying, hey, wait, what about the $21 trillion? Which is why I just spent 30 years pointing it out. I knew this day would come. Anyway, but Mitch is not the only person who rang the bell. We have Foreign Affairs magazine come out with a big article called The Self-Destruction of American Power, which announces that essentially the unipolar moment is over. We blew it due to, they say, bad habits and bad behavior. And they target sort of the beginning of the end to the invasion of Iraq. I would move it earlier, but no mention really of the bailouts and $50 trillion missing from the U.S. government. Another bell-ringing Barron's this week comes out with a headline, China will be at the top of the New World Order. And of course, as you look around the world, the IMF continues to promote the rebalancing of the gold inventory. So what we're seeing is it's almost fashionable to declare the end of the American empire. So when Karl Rove or whoever it was said, you know, we're an empire now and we make up and write our own reality, and you reality-based folks are just observers. I think the day when we can just invent and make up our own reality is over, and we'll talk a little bit more about, certainly we're seeing that with the push to go to war with Iran. If you step back and look at this at the highest level, now that we've moved $50 trillion out of the U.S., whether through the missing money, the bailouts, or some other pump and dump stock market frauds, and FASB 56 is in place, we've moved think of the United States as a legal entity, we've moved the money, we've upstreamed the money into some kind of New World Order holding company. We still have the liabilities down in the legal entity, and FASB 56 is in place. So that means you're ready to jam down the liabilities and re-engineer the real estate and land and other things you couldn't launder out the back door, given the DOD announcement that they're teaming up with, in a formal agreement with California on the fire situation. I mean, certainly underscores that that appears to be true. I have not yet looked at the Social Security Fund. I think what this is about is the fact that it is expected to go cash flow negative. It's been a buyer of Treasury. That's where all the money's been reinvested. And as it starts to turn negative, I need to look at how much you would have to cut benefits to keep it from turning negative. I think that will be where the line is drawn. My guess is that for planning purposes, if you want to plan for a reasonable scenario, be prepared for 20 to 25% cut in Social Security and major gridlock on Medicare benefits. So you can use gridlock to basically cut down and slam down on Medicare. You know, so it'll be a little bit more complicated, but Social Security is pretty easy to just do a trim across the board that's going to make sure that the fund stays cash flow positive for Treasury securities. They can't afford to have another seller of Treasury securities. And what concerns me the most is the pressure is going to be on the pension funds to buy more Treasuries. And as you know, I'm always worried when people start talking about the potential for mandated purchases. We haven't seen that yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's coming. Money in markets, the dollar now almost flat for the year. It's up about 42 basis points. The Fed left rates unchanged. They signaled that the economy is slowing, and they also signaled that they might lower rates in July and later this year. If anything, they're following the market down. The long Treasury ETF now up 10.55% for the year. Who would have thought that would happen? The intermediate Treasury up 6.62%, bond aggregate up 5.9%, and junk bonds, the ETF, up 11.24%. So very strong performance for fixed income. Equities, the S&P now up 18.9%, home builders up, 28.24%. One of the things I'm most concerned about, and I just finished recording Dr. Farrell for the second quarter wrap-up, I'm very concerned that assets are being laundered out of the pension funds using the Treasury mechanism, and it's one of the reasons the U.S. stock market has continued to do so well and earnings have continued to do so well. Essentially, if your pension fund is buying a Treasury security, so let's say your pension fund buys a dollar of Treasuries, the dollar leaves the pension fund, goes into the Treasury. The pension fund gets an IOU essentially from you. That's what a treasury is. And the dollar goes into the U.S. Treasury, but then they basically launder the money out the back door into corporations or private contractors or a variety of different private parties, and they do it at below market. You know, it's not a market transaction. If anything, it could be just straight out theft. So I think a lot of money is being laundered out of the back door. And if that money is being financed by the pension funds and the only thing they're getting back is an IOU, essentially from ourselves, you know, basically our money is just being harvested out. And that is a real concern. And it certainly would explain some of the pricings in the market over the last 10 years. VGK, the European ETF, now up 15.32%. Germany up 12.63%, developed market minus North America up 14%, China large caps up 10.35%, the small caps up 11.65%. We see indications from China that growth is slowing down to 5%, which for economy that big, as far as I'm concerned, is still an astonishing barn burner rate. Emerging markets up 10.67%, commodities now up 5.2%, and gold has finally, well, it certainly looks like it's on a breakout. Let's see how it works. But ever since the Plum Protection team quit at the end of May, gold's been headed up. Silver now almost flat. It's down 48 basis points for the year, and oil doing well at 31.94%. You almost wonder if the pretense of war is designed more to manipulate the oil price. We clearly have a push for war with Iran, and it's falling flat everywhere you turn around. Most countries were highly skeptical, and we even had Japan saying they wanted to see more evidence before they believed that Iran really did it. It's very interesting because Abe was meeting with the Iranians when it happened, or when the Japanese tanker got hit. The CEO of the tanker company came out and said it wasn't a mine. Our sailors reported something flying into the side of the ship. So, the, you know, whatever this false flag story is, it's not hunting. It's not working. But Merkel was in a ceremony with the president of the Ukraine yesterday, and it was yesterday, the day before, and started shaking uncontrollably. Dr. Farrell pointed the video out to me, and I said, you know, that looks like electromagnetic weaponry to me. They're, you know, they're using weaponry on her. The following day, she came out in support of the United States on Iran. I'm sorry, it looked like physical force to me. Something stunk. Meantime, if you look at Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, announcing that we believe Iran did it, you know, he can't stop laughing. It's almost as though he knows, everybody knows it ain't true. You know, it was probably a false flag. And it's as though he is not even trying to pretend that it's really true. It's very strange to watch him. And you almost wonder, with this coming right on the back of the state visit, how much of this it reflects the wishes of the people in the city of London. So I have spent a lot of time with Saker and Dr. Farrell and many other people trying to figure out why we would be so as insane to try and start a war with Iran. There's no way you win that war. I just don't even see, you know, Saker and I have talked about that a lot, particularly in the last discussion. So I don't see what's, you know, sort of what the push is and why we're doing this. There's a lot of theories and a lot of conjecture, but clearly it would be suicide to try and attack, let alone evade Iran. And so you wonder what all of this is about. My prediction is we won't go to war with Iran, but we're going to listen to a lot of noise. And let's pray I'm right. Let's pray we don't. This is a war we could lose, and we could lose really big. The pushback in Hong Kong continues. We have up to 2 million young people demonstrating against the move by the Hong Kong legislature and executive to implement an extradition treaty with China. This is all part of the communist Chinese sort of moving in on Hong Kong, and the young people, this is, I'm sure, entrainment and the other techniques are at play, but the reality is the young people are terrified of what could happen if China really integrates Hong Kong into their legal system, and you get something very tightly run by the Chinese communists instead of the local rule. This could really destroy Hong Kong as a great port, a great center of innovation and capitalism. So I think the young people are very right to be concerned. And I'm concerned because it's a reminder of why we don't want to be under the thumb of the, you know, the Chinese. And I personally would love to see anything we can do to turn America around. It's why I really want you to get the real game of missing money and start sending it out to the resource management people in your life, whether government or private, because, you know, if you look around the world, there are an awful lot of bullies and oligarchs I don't want to be run by. And, you know, I would much rather see the United States turn around and the Western, sort of the Western world turn around and turn right instead of saying, oh, groovy, let's go see what a multipolar world is like. A multipolar world can be much worse. So we all have a vested interest in making sure that things go well. Jeffrey Gundlach came out this week and did an interview and talked about the recession chances this year and next. And clearly he sees recession on the horizon. Now, we started sort of at the end, I think it was third quarter last year, warning you that a recession was coming. You have way too many smart money at the corporations and other big organizations who've been told as much as a year ago, you know, get ready to batten down the hatches. We're going to have a recession. So the word is out on the business networks. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. I want to make sure you are now. Every indication is that the effort to bring a lot of the manufacturing and other sort of make America great again, other money back into the country is bringing on significant employment for people who want it. So the employment picture does look much more rosy than it's been. But the reality is, if you look at the cost of day-to-day, you know, basic household items, it's going up much faster than people's income. So the squeeze is still on. As I said, I had just quite an amazing experience road tripping in the weird weather. And it doesn't take but a little bit of weird weather to really scramble the sort of the plane and other transportation schedules. So I found myself in Albuquerque. I tried plane, I tried bus, I tried car, it was amazing. You could not find a rental car, not only in Albuquerque, but in sort of five of the surrounding cities I tried. So my plan had been when my plane got delayed and I wasn't going to make my connections, I said, well, I'll just go rent a car. Well, I didn't realize the Senior Olympics were in Albuquerque and there was no car to be had. Not that day, not the next day. It took me 2.5 days to fly to my destination. It was incredible. Anyway, I think the weird weather from everything I'm seeing is just wrecking havoc with the farms, with the planning schedule. It's going to make the food situation very serious. So I talked a lot with Dr. Farrell about it in the News Trends and Stories, but, you know, start supporting your local farmers, start a garden, whatever you have to do to figure out how to get a local food supply, start now, because the price of food is going to skyrocket. And my fear is that food is going to be centrally controlled by people who I just don't trust to maintain quality standards, let alone to properly label. Trade wars continue, and it's one of the things that's really dampening the economy. We have the G20 meeting coming up, and Trump is talking about meeting with Xi, so we'll see what comes out of that. But I'm not optimistic that we're going to get any kind of meaningful change. I think the rebalancing with China is going to continue, and it's going to continue to be very much of a struggle. The governor of New York, Cuomo, signed a removal of the, or basically an outlawing of the religious exemption for vaccinations. Right before he did it, Merck announced that they were promising to build a plant in Albany, not subtle. And as I said to one wonderful subscriber, you know, what did you think would happen when you vote into the governorship, a person who started the housing bubble and engineered the first missing money out of HUD. I mean, this comes back to governance. If you elect slugs, then you're going to get just more organized crime. And that's what this is. California is attempting to follow in their footsteps. And of course, it's going to get worked through all the different states. If they can get New York and California, they can sort of get the bellwethers, and don't think they won't keep going. Our hero this week, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, is Brother Bruce, and I don't know how to pronounce this, Mejia, of Faithful Word Baptist Church in Los Angeles, who got up and explained that they're putting aborted fetal tissue in these vaccines, you know, and then injecting it in you. They're also putting, I believe, nanoparticles, basically, that make you a more effective receiver of all this sort of cellular technology that includes entrainment and mind control. Anyway, he explains how inhuman this is and stands up. And very few pastors have been afraid to do or say anything, and he does a beautiful job. Anyway, I retweeted it on my Twitter feed. Again, the Salary Report Twitter feed is on the website. You can, if you go down in the middle of the homepage on the right, you can just click on the Twitter logo and you can get all my tweets and my replies that are up on Twitter. You can get them right there at the website. DHS is now moving their data into the Amazon cloud. So we have the 17 intelligence agencies in the Amazon cloud. We have DHS in the Amazon cloud. And then we have the Jedi contract coming, and I'm sure Amazon is going to be one of, if not the only winner on that. Once you get all these different organizations in the cloud, the ability to re-engineer the government at high speed and cut a huge amount of the bureaucracy out is quite real. Somebody pointed out this week, it turns out the drones that are going to be doing delivery for Amazon, again, all that information in the cloud, turns out they're also going to be doing surveillance as they go hither and thither and none. And somebody said, why are we not surprised? Very bad news. The FCC is trying to rule that a private homeowner can make a deal with a telecom to put up a 5G tower with no approvals, no oversight from the neighbors, the community, the municipality. If this happens, it's very bad news because a lot of people, including yours truly, could get, you know, completely blasted by the 5G that's literally on the roof next door. I'm not looking forward to this. Our interview tonight is the next part, part three of Deep State Tactics 101. This time I talk about brand social prestige and media to give you a flavor and sort of make sure you get the meaning of what I'm trying to say. I go through some history and stories. So it's a long one. I think it's about 3 hours and 40 minutes. We should be able to send the audio to the transcriber on Monday. So I'm hoping we'll have it in at least a week or two. It might, because it's so long, it might make it easier and faster for you to digest with a transcript. And again, as I promised, when I get to the very end of all of this, we'll batch it up into one manuscript and I'll see if I can't do some things to make it sort of easier to digest. Anyway, it's long and it's important because if you look at the extent to which media is used to manipulate and waste our time and money, it is just amazing. It brought it home to me in a interesting kind of way because I avoid corporate media completely other than the financial press, which I need as an investment advisor. You know, so I kind of avoid them and don't spend a lot of time dealing with it. But it reminds me, having gone through it, of how much extraordinary damage they've done and how much they've contributed to secrecy and to real inequality in this country. It's pretty frightening. So anyway, I go through brand, social prestige, and the media. And I, you know, my goal is to get to you actionable intelligence so that you really can see how the game works and you can protect your time and money. And of course, that's always my goal. Our movie tonight is one I've used before. It's one of my favorite movies in the world, called The Warwicker Trilogy. It's by Sir David Hare for the BBC. There are three movies. The first is Page 8, the second is Turks and Caicos, and the third is Salting the Battlefield. In fact, Nina Hein wrote a review of The Warwicker Trilogy, also for Food for the Soul. Anyway, it describes the corruption involved in winning support to build a global network of CIA rendition centers. I believe there's a lot of truth in it. And I've written, in my review of the Warwicker Trilogy, I've written about some of what I believe is true. But it demonstrates the extraordinary dance, sort of the intimate dance between intelligence, media, and geopolitics, and the manner in which the debate and the competition and collaboration within the establishment, you know, ultimately crafts an official reality. And you see the real interplay in the Warwicker Trilogy between the media and the different factions, and it's absolutely fascinating. So I would encourage you to take a look at the Warwicker Trilogy because it's a more subtle, sophisticated description of how the dance with the media works, and I think it's a very good complement to our discussion on the brand, social prestige, and media in this week's Solari report. Okay, let's turn to Ask Catherine. First, I want to say thank you so much for sending all the reports on the weird weather and farming and other anomalies where you are. The reports from around the country that come really from real people on the ground, I think, is some of the best intelligence we get here at the Salary Report, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for everything you do. I've been following you for a couple of years, but I just signed up. I'm no power player, but happy to contribute. I want to recommend to you to accept Greg Carlwood's invitation to appear in a show. I know his show appears on the surface to be a little out there, and it's because Greg is not interested in limiting the debate. But Greg is hands down the best interviewer I'm aware of. His research is incredibly in-depth, and his questions prove this. He's itching to get some real traction with some heavy hitters in the news scene. For reference, I recommend his recent interview with Dr. Gerald Pollack. I'm not familiar. In fact, I don't remember if we have an invitation from him, but I'll take a look and try and educate myself. Because of the travel schedule, sort of this month and next month, I'm not, you know, I'm inclined to do new interviews in the fall. Is there any possibility the Facebook's LibraCoin has a dead hand sponsorship from the BIS? Absolutely. It's going to be headquartered, the organization kind of running the standards, et cetera, is going to be headquartered in Geneva, which is right around the lake from Basel. You continue. Libra seems too much like a global central bank business model to not ask that question. Very good question. Absolutely good question. And, you know, I'm very clear that the deep state invented Facebook and what they want to do. Part of the dance at the Department of Justice and FCC announcing that they're going to do antitrust reviews is basically saying, okay, now that you groovy entrepreneurs have built the retail side of this thing, we're ready to take control. You know, if they had taken control from the beginning, it would never have gone the way it did. You want to pretend that this really is Mark Zuckerberg's baby, which, unfortunately, it's not. Number two, per McConnell ringing the bell on Social Security and Medicare, isn't it simple demographics? 1954 was the peak of the baby boom, and that group is now filing their form to get in on Social Security and Medicare benefits. Actually, no, Social Security is a trust fund. They're looking to get a return of their capital that they invested in Social Security. This is not an entitlement. So then you say, ergo, the U.S. entitlement Ponzi scheme finally is going bust. No, it's not an entitlement Ponzi scheme. Social Security is not an entitlement. It is a trust fund. It is not an entitlement. It is a trust fund. It is not an entitlement. It is a trust fund. Do not let them spin it this way. So, no, I don't think it's just demographics. I think what happened was the financial coup. I've written about a lot. There's a lot here at the Salary Report, but essentially, if you read the Dylan Reed and Aristocracy of Stock Profits story, it will explain. Basically, I think the leadership got frustrated after 1995 and the budget deal failing and said, okay, we're just going to take all the money before the boomers retire. We'd rather spend it on space rather than nursing homes. So I think what we've got is more than just a Ponzi scheme. I think we have a bank robbery. The other thing is we had Social Security, the trust fund, buying treasuries. That's real money. That's our money. We put it in. It was real money. I remember working to earn that money. And you put that money in, and then if you basically use it to buy treasuries that are getting almost no interest return, and then you, if you launder the money out through the treasury and into private corporations, you know, that's not just, first of all, it's not an entitlement Ponzi scheme because it's not an entitlement, but it's not a Ponzi scheme. It's a bank robbery because real money went in there. And also, if I'm correct, that they were pulling money out of the trust fund for Social Security disability, that's another argument that this is a bank robbery, not just simply demographics. One of the reasons I've spent so much time documenting the missing money is when the time came to sort of blame the bank robbery on the victims. And, you know, here's a perfect example of projective identification. I wanted the beneficiaries of the trust fund to be able to slap the $21 trillion on the table and say, well, wait a minute, what do you mean there's no money? Where's the $21 trillion? Anyway, hi, Catherine. And now we have one of the Leonardo fans write a very long thing. And so I'm going to put it in the notes. But you talked about getting your material out. Just start a blog. It's the easiest thing in the world to do, and just start publishing it. That's what you ought to do. It's very important that you keep control of it. You know the material. Anyway, it's remarkably easy to do, so I would go ahead and do it. Just make sure, if you're talking about Da Vinci, you want to have great pictures. Hello, hope you're doing well. I've been a big fan, recognizing his genius, of Martin Armstrong, but I'm not a sycophant. So then this is somebody wrote in who's been very frustrated with Armstrong changing his predictions. Anyway, so I thought I would publish it because there's been some questions and discussions about Armstrong's strengths and weaknesses anyway, but I thought you might find it interesting. Somebody sent several links which look pretty interesting. One is on the Sanctuary Cities case. The Supreme Court dismantles the Sanctuary Cities. And another on some sort of insiders. Okay, I will take a look at those. Thank you for sending. Then more information from one of the people who had questions about opportunity zones, and that's on my list to research. Dear Catherine, I love your interviews, however, find it discouraging for tech people. So then this is a techie who writes lots and lots of questions. What he's asking is, should he get a job in technology? And I said, yes. I think there are a lot of good jobs in technology. I certainly spent enough time with big corporations who run hotel chains and airlines that run air scheduling, and their systems, almost to a person, don't work. So it looks to me like there's a lot of great work. And as I said in response to your email, I wrote back individually, I would do everything I could to get out of debt in this environment. I think debt could be a real drag. So I would encourage you to do that. Then someone says, you recently recommended using open source platforms instead of Microsoft and Apple. Can you please suggest some open source options? First, one of the subscribers responded to you in the in subscriber input. It's in the comments section. It gave some excellent recommendations. But just FYI, I use Thunderbird for email, LibreOffice for the Office Suite software, and then Firefox for my browser. And I'm extremely happy with all three of them. To one subscriber, I owe you a response on the federal student loan portfolio. And I just, because of my travel schedule, I haven't had time to research that. My apologies, but I will try to do the research before the next Money in Markets. I also put up our interview with the documentary maker who's working on the student loan documentary with Alan Kalanche. And you might want to take a look at it. It was a great interview. And Scott, we've got the trailer for their new documentary. You can take a look at it. It's, I thought, very well done. And then more on Leonardo da Vinci. And then finally, what brand or type of EMF detector do you use? I have several, all good, but the one my favorite is the one that Jason Bawden Smith is making at Mito HQ. It's very small, but very light and easy to use, and it's perfect for travel. So it's not currently available in the United States. He's only fulfilling in Australia right now, but he hopes to be able to do so by the end of the year. So stay tuned. You can find his website at MitoHQ, MitoHQ. Okay, that is it for this evening. Next week, a very important discussion with author and researcher David Martin, the assassination of James Forrestal. We don't know all the facts, but I think Martin has really nailed what happened. And of course, the question is, who done it? And Martin's take on things is a little bit different than mine. James Forrestal was the Secretary of the Navy when that was still a cabinet position, did an incredible job building and supporting the Navy during World War II. After a series of events, including Operation High Jump and Roswell, he was part of drafting, writing the 47 Act, and ended up as the first Secretary of Defense. The title at first was called Secretary of War. He was then forced out by Truman, made to look unstable, smeared, and then assassinated, thrown out the window at the Bethesda Naval Hospital. And a great smear job was made to basically spin it as a suicide, which to me is impossible given the facts and everything we know about Forrestal. I've always been very interested in Forrestal because he was president of Dillon Read before he came down to lead the Navy. So somebody I've been familiar with for a very long time. And there's great controversy over the sort of the smear and effort to make Forrestal look crazy. Given what we've talked about on the Solari report with Dr. Farrell on the new information coming out about the death of Senator McCarthy, and then, of course, David Talbot's great book, The Devil's Chessboard on Kennedy. And there's a new book on the Bobby Kennedy assassination, which I also want to review and get up there. But we've got a lot coming out about what really happened with these assassinations and the pivot they made to swing the national security state to a state of secrecy and the building of this extraordinary addiction to secrecy and the wholesale theft of trillions of dollars. Anyway, you can tie it all back to a series of these assassinations. So it's very interesting and very important historical information. And then we dive into the second quarter wrap-up, news, trends, and stories, part one with Dr. Farrell, and then part two the following week. I just finished recording those. Absolutely fascinating discussion with Joseph, as always, but even this time, there were more ahas for me than I normally have. And I normally have a lot when he and I chew through these what's going on in these events. He had gotten a copy of The Real Game of Missing Money, and it was very gratifying to me because he's one of the people who's really stressed to me the importance of getting these things in a hard copy. And he said, you know, I knew all of this, you know, because obviously I was sharing everything with him during the last 2 years as we were publishing Skidmore's report and our whole series on the federal financial laws. He said, but, you know, to have it in one place, it just makes it so much easier to sort of get your mind around it and see it as it is. So I was very gratified to have that feedback from him. And I'm very, very interested as he really digests the material in a whole new way. He's such an incredible integrator. I just can't wait to see what burps out after he's integrated this in with all the other things he's deep diving, like history and science. Okay, so coming up next week, assassination of James Forrestal, then news, trends, and stories part one with Dr. Farrell, news, trends, and stories part two with Dr. Farrell. It's a great lineup. So ladies and gentlemen, until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck. Thank you.